Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So I think that a number of times probably up here I have mentioned that my musical acumen is non-existent. And definitely every time I go to band practice, I am reminded of that. Even on the last song, our offering song, watching Tom play the drums like and having little fills here and there, I was reminded of how bad I was as a drummer. Because that was the instrument, I didn't play it, that's the instrument I purchased, or my parents purchased the first one, I think, it was weird, actually, because they got me a snare drum at first, and then they put an addition onto the house that was fairly soundproof. I don't know if those two kind of coincide with one another or not, but anyway, so at some point, though, I entered into high school, and I wasn't interested because of soccer and things like that, of playing in the performance band or anything like that, but the jazz band seemed fun because I could play the whole drum set. And then it was at that point that I realized I was pretty lousy at playing the drums, but I still had signed up for this year-long commitment of a course. In fact, I did it a couple years, but there the band director, Mr. Rupert, was an absolute saint because this guy, anyway, I was a high schooler, and I did what high schoolers do, especially when you're not very good and you didn't have very many opportunities to play play in concerts and things like that. But what would happen is that instead of being in the main room with everyone else when they went through songs, he would say, "Hey, you guys, others like me, just playing different instruments, go in the practice room, practice your pieces, get ready because this," right, which is a great idea to just say, "Hey guys, be unsupervised for this whole period of class time." And so we'd go into these fairly soundproof practice rooms, and what we found fairly quickly was that there was this one larger one that then the show choir was in the other room, and there was this big glass panel. And most of the time, she forgot to shut the door, shut the curtains. And so with the chorus teachers back behind us so she couldn't see, we decided to do little dramas and plays for the choir and things like that. And then when the doors were, or when the curtains were shut, like that's how we spent time. He couldn't figure out why we weren't getting better, but man, we had a great time doing those types of things. And so one day when the curtains were shut, so we were just sitting there kind of staring at each other because we were supposed to be practicing, we decided, you know what's musical? Row, row, row your boat in a round. And so there we are singing as he comes in to get the next group of people, and we're singing "Row, Row, Row Your Boat" and around instead of playing our instruments, and he just looked at us, absolutely speechless. This man who spent hours really kind of working with us, and we had to do these music theory sheets, and he was trying to get us excited about it, but like we just weren't there, right? Like to the point that I sold my drum set to buy my first kayak, and like that was the best decision of my life besides marrying my wife, okay? So we were there, but when he caught us singing, he just stood there and he goes, "You guys know better than this," and walked away. And like at that moment, it was one of those things that like for him, definitely the band is like part of, it was this kind of familial piece. And so when he said that, it was like, man, we really messed up because, when mom or dad just goes, "You guys know better," and then just walks off, you know that you've really messed up, right? And like that was totally on us, and we totally knew better, and we knew that if we practiced and we put in the work and we'd made these adjustments, like it would be better. But for us and for that jazz band, like the family was functional, but it wasn't healthy. And so as we continue on with this I Love Family series, we're going to continue with one of those other phrases that we hear from time to time or that we say or that we live into as we continue with this, that's you should know better. Or sometimes it's that self-talk of I should have known better, right? But it's kind of hard to do that. And so as we look at this kind of personal trajectory today, we're gonna talk about how that personal trajectory of us doing better or us trying to do better then affects the rest of the family. And so as part of that, what we have to kind of realize is that scripture that Chloe read for us kind of sets out that goal that God has for us that says, you know, if family is going to be like this, if your spiritual family, if the gift that I have given you of relationship is going to be anything, you want to shoot for perfection, right? Like you want to hit your target every single time. Because if God said, well, you know what, the ideal is to get maybe like a B+. I think we all kind of go, oh, well, that's not as great as it could be, right? And so for us, perfection is the goal. And what happens is that third verse of what Chloe read for us, it says, you know, we have all fallen short of God's glorious standard. We have all sinned and fallen short. And so oftentimes when we talk about this word sin, it's been used for a number of different ways and things like that, but we know that we miss the mark. Even Paul, in writing in Romans, he says, I know what I should do, but even when I know I should do it, my body does something else. I just can't help it. We've all fallen short, and so often that sin sometimes is translated as or interpreted as like when we break shalom, when we break covenant with people, when we have this kind of perfect ideal, and when we choose our way over God's way or our way, that breaks shalom and makes kind of this wholeness and peace not that thing. That's sin. Other times we use the language of missing the mark, and oftentimes pastors say, well, it's an archery term. And that kind of stuck with me this week, because like reading in a couple of the commentaries, it's an archery term. And then they just keep going on. Like all of us go to the range every single week, right? Like many of us have seen the Hunger Games. We know because of, you know, that whole thing with Katniss Everdeen, we've seen archery in the kind of ethos of what we've been doing, but not many of us go, oh yeah, I know exactly what that absolutely means. So we're going to kind of dive down on that a little bit. So we're going to be talking about sin in the regard of archery, but also recognizing that there is a lot of grace when we kind of frame it in the terms of archery in a way that realizes that, yeah, we may have missed the mark, but not all is lost. And our scripture points that it's not all lost because of God's grace, because of this unmerited favor, because of this gift that God has given to us. Our scripture today said, with undeserved kindness. Essentially, we've been given more arrows to shoot. And so just to give you a little bit of that, you know, when we look at this and look at God's glorious standard, essentially what it means is that every single one of us living fully human is living into God's glorious standard, living into the people that we have been called to be, and being some of the language I read this week in 1st and 2nd Peter is being stewards of grace. Have you ever heard that before? Like the translation of that you have been called to be stewards of God's grace. It's kind of beautiful. And so if we're talking about sin in this way of missing the mark, we also realize that there are adjustments that we can make to get back on target. But just to give you a little bit of a frame of reference to some like Olympic level archery, I have a little bit of a video just to show you kind of what that looks like and to give you a mental image of what that kind of performance looks like. So Chad, could you play that video? Okay, so first off, he said a lot of things. Did you learn something about archery there, right? Because it's not necessarily just, oh, you missed the shot. It's, okay, so 70 meters for Olympic and international competition is 75 yards for us who live here with, anyway, not metric. but essentially, so if you're standing on, you know, I mean, that's standing on your opponent's 25-yard line and shooting into the goal line of somebody else if we're talking football, right? Like, and he said, you know, the 10 is about like this. Isn't that bananas, right? And so when you think about that and think about those minuscule, like within a centimeter or so is going to put you in different ranges, like, oh, okay, so there are these things that we have to do and recognize that then are going to shift our understanding. So yeah, we miss the mark, and sin breaks down that personal, that relational, and that spiritual covenant that we have, But then there is this grace that yes, it affects our big God family, but there is also redemption right around the corner. That we miss the mark, but also sometimes we have to relearn our lines. And so what happens is that first and foremost, if we're looking at this from that archery perspective, is that we need to make sure that our focus and our aim for our lives is in the right space, okay? And so we'll have two pictures up there, but I think that what'll help is that in my extensive YouTube research on archery this week, number one, I have learned that now I can be an Olympian. And number two is that, like he said, best was, my eyesight's not that great. Did you notice that? My eyesight's not that great, but everything's a little bit blurry. And so what I want you to do is I want you to give me a thumbs up, okay? That's the safest way to do this. Okay, thumbs up just like this. And so if we're talking with my psychology background, essentially there's the clearest part of focus in your eyeballs called the fovea, okay? And it's about the size of your thumbnail. So that's why we're gonna use our thumbnail. Now what I want you to do is pointing your thumb kind of at me like you do the pinchy head game, okay? So take that. And then what I want you to do is I want you to focus on your thumbnail, and you'll realize that in the background, or what's not in focus, is now there's two of me, at least two of me, okay, depending on how your eye's doing. However, if you focus then on me, there's multiple thumbnails, right? And so it's kind of the difference between where are we focusing? Are we going to focus on the things that are immediate and right in front of us? Or are we going to have that long view of knowing, that hope that the best is yet to come? Are we going to say that my long view is that big audacious dream that I have and that God is going to help me get there? The first thing that we do when we talk about meeting that goal or moving on to perfection, as John Wesley would say, or being made perfect in love, is that, yeah, we see the brokenness every day right in front of us. It's that immediate, that's one of the problems with some of those young archers I learned, is that they look at their sight, and all of a sudden, there's two targets. They look at the immediate, and so all of a sudden, what becomes blurry is their end destination. And so they have to kind of train themselves to say, no, I want to look a little bit past that. Chad, can you go to that next slide? Right? I want to look past that so that I can see my target more clearly, even though I can train my eyes then to weed through the immediate. And so sometimes we have to slog through those immediate things and look downrange. In fact, one of the things that jumped out at me as Chloe was reading was that passage from our scripture today that says that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish the sinners of the past because he was looking ahead to include them in what he was doing in the present time. God was looking downrange and saying, I have something even better. I'm going to keep focused on the target. And so I want to, if you're bold enough, I want you to share what you wrote down for your next step sheet. What is one of those, or it may be seasonal, it may be a life thing, but what are some of those things that you say, one of my big audacious goals for life right now is what? Yeah, nice. So let me ask a follow-up question that's not on my paper, but does it sometimes feel silly to name those things out loud? And is that because we're focused on the thumbnail, right? Sometimes we're focused on that like for a dog rescue, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And so if we are just focused on like the legal paperwork and what we've done, or like you guys have done, you know, transports and things like that, and you have one or two dogs that are just a little bit more difficult, and you think, ah, but man, we could have all of these things, or we could do this, or for advocacy, it's I want to be the right kind of advocate, and I want to look at this, but then, man, look at the piles of things that I have to educate myself on first. It feels like there is a mountain that I'm trying to climb before I could ever get to the top. So why even start? Why even name those things out loud? And what happens is that then, you know, like if we're not even going to take aim, of course we're going to miss. If we're not going to take aim, of course, you know, we're not going to hit that mark because we're not even letting arrows fly. And so one of those things is that we have to be bold enough to say, all right, so what are these goals and what am I aiming at? And is the most important thing bringing into clarity the target or just making sure I can see clearly through the sight? Because this is going to get us to where we want to go, even though it's really, really hard work. And some days it'll feel like we're missing the mark, and maybe we are, but that's where grace comes in. And that also is where this training comes in. Did you notice that, like, those small adjustments that on our video you saw, like, and it's not necessarily a kind of bow that you would see oftentimes. Actually, when we were previewing the video, Aaron goes, it looks like there's like wings on his bow. It's like, well, yeah, there's all kinds of tools I learned this week for archers, like the kind of brace that he had to stabilize his back, for ways in which they, what they call anchor, their pull. But so you'll see some that just kind of hold it right there by their lips and touch their nose, right? To make sure that every single pull, when they train, every single pull is exactly the same. Because he said, you guys may not feel it if you try to shoot an arrow 70 meters, but I could feel it. Because I know that muscle memory, that spiritual muscle memory, those ways that I am coming back time and time again to the same thing. I'm doing the training that allows me to then keep focused on that, so that all that data that I collect, all of those things that go into making up where I am and being strong enough to move forward, even knowing that I am moving forward in a world that's not perfect, that is broken, that is hard, that is, you know, that I can control as many variables as possible, so that when there is something unexpected that comes through, we know why that happens, or we can take it in stride. One of the things that I did last Olympics was I did watch some Olympic archery, and it's incredible to see the way that even a small breeze moves arrows like feet. Not just like a couple inches here and there, but just like a wind gust can take that 70 meters and move those arrows an incredible amount of distance. And so if you know that, if you train right, if you can feel it and you know how fast the wind is blowing, you can account for those moving variables so that you can change the conversation based on maybe where you are when you're doing that advocacy work. Or you can make allowances for those audacious dreams when something unexpected happened, when a financial, something happens financially that you're not expecting, you can start to recover those things. But God calls us to this kind of whole self-discipleship, that we have to train our minds, our bodies, our spirits, and become aligned with God so that those hurdles come up. And our relentlessness, our grit, our study, our, you know, investment in what God has in store for us starts to make that difference. Our training is going to lead to our destination. So if we aim and we train, the final piece that we have to do is that we have to adjust, right? Because that's like the definition of insanity, is that if we keep doing the same thing in the same direction and don't change and we know that it's going to fail, like, that just doesn't make sense. And so when we adjust, we have to take responsibility for where we are and where we've been, and maybe take responsibility for the failings that we have and own that so that we can then grow past that, right? And so that when we are moving with that, that we are relentlessly honest with ourselves, as I told the track team this week, that we are relentlessly honest with ourselves and others, and with determination, we're not going to make the same mistakes again. Because as we do that, as we move, you know, if it's really important to us, we're going to adjust. And so this whole phrase of we should have known better, well, of course, right? But it's hard. And so maybe what we say as people who have fallen short is that I should have known better, yes, but now help me do better. Because the knowing and the doing, man, they are very different things, aren't they? And so one of the other pieces that as we come around this big God family, we realize that there are other people, there are spotters who help us see what that wind looks like, see the course, who have been there before and who we can use as resources, and we can be resources for them. But at the end of the day, in this picture, she's not going to fire for him, right? That we have to loose our own arrows. We have to shoot. We have to hit our mark, or we have to adjust after we've missed. But we have people who are spotters with us to continue on, to run our own race, to realize that there is no secondhand faith in God's family, that my faith won't bless you and make you part of the in crowd or not, and your faith won't help me, but that we can help one another, be spotters for one another. as I think about these kind of family things, as I think about, you know, when I was in high school with Mr. Rupert and the hours that he spent with these knuckleheads that just didn't want to do jazz band, like he wanted us to stay after school to do extra tutoring and stuff, and we had other plans because we were going to go skate, right? That family was functional, but it wasn't healthy. Reminded of a story that happened about a month ago or so, with Eden, our 11-year-old. And she was having some issues. There was a young man in her class that was physically assaulting other kids. And man, oh man, it was real frustrating, especially when I called up to school. I'm like, hey, I'm just going to come in and hang out until I can talk to a principal because my kid doesn't need to be stabbed anymore. And there's a lot of stuff going on. And the first thing that one of the principal said is, well, we need to collect data. And I go, that's cool, man. You already have a couple of holes in my kid. I don't know that we need to collect any more data. But the reality is that as we take aim, you know, for Katie and I and the school, that Eden needs to be set up for success. She needs academically and for her personal safety to be set up, as do all the other kids in the classroom. And so then when we collect data, when we train, when we see what identify those hurdles that have identified a broken system, then we can start making adjustments. And after some of those conversations and check-ins and things like that, we're really happy with where we've been. It's been a hard journey of adjustment, but there's also been fruit, not just for my kid and the other kids in her class, but for the whole learning environment in general. Sometimes if we focus too much on that immediate sight, we're going to miss the target. And so we have to, like God, pull back and say, there's this bigger picture at work. Don't give up on those big dreams that you have because right in front of you, or because that next step might be the thing that kind of breaks it all open. Yeah, we've all fallen short. We all rely on God's grace. But at the same time, we all kind of come together. And so this week, our challenge is to be a spotter for one another, to speak truth in our relationships in love in a way that would then define this big God family by the way that we love one another and share and show support rather than focusing on those arrows that miss at times. Let's pray. God of grace and peace, we give you thanks for the way in which you give us more arrows. You allow us to try again, and you give us a family that allows us to adjust, to spot for us and with us, empower us to be those people that you have called us to be. God of grace, give us the courage and the strength to run our own race, to shoot our own arrows, and the community that is alongside of us, encouraging us each and every step of the way. God, it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.